VBS starts tonight. I know you realize that. You'd have to be blind not to. It's exciting. This is a great time of year. The day has come. Preparations have been made. If you have not enrolled your child yet, go ahead and pre-enroll them on the way out. That'll help registration tonight. If you're a guide, please come early. Sometimes it appears we are herding cats on VBS nights, the first night in particular. So guides, come early. Be here to help. We will not have a 5 p.m. service tonight as normal because of VBS. There will be communion ready and provided. We'll be ready to serve that if anyone needs that tonight at 5 o'clock. And so be praying, because this week, this is about God, and it's about what God's doing, and we're just helping. But it takes a lot of work. So be praying for our kids and what they'll gain this week. And we typically have two from the community for every one of our kids. And so it's a great opportunity to plant seeds in young minds that need to be guided toward God. And that's what we're doing this week. So pray about that. Be thinking about that. Today concludes a three-part series on overcoming. We've talked about overcoming some of life's greatest challenges. Illness can be an amazing life-halting challenge when faced with it. And grief the same way. And today we're going to talk about mental health struggles. It's a difficult topic, because it's complicated, but it's a very important topic. And I hope by the end of today's sermon, you will be in a better position understanding to help as we bear each other's burdens. The words mental health come with a stigma attached. People tend to view, if you have a physical ailment or physical struggles, you know, back pain, diabetes, some type of physical illness, people view those as being legitimate. But oftentimes people view mental health struggles as something that's, well, that's just in their head. And you may have heard that before. But mental illness is just as much a legitimate problem as physical illness, like high blood pressure or diabetes. If someone has those, we don't think that those are, well, that's just in their body. The head is a part of the body, isn't it? And so we're talking about things that affect us in a way that is outside the norm. And I want to talk, you know, in talking about mental health, for example, we're talking about things like depression, anxiety. Those are very common. Bipolar, OCD, we know what that is. PTSD from trauma, autism, ADD, hoarding disorder, psychotic disorders like those that come with symptoms like hallucinations, delusions, paranoia. Those are very, very difficult challenges to deal with. But think about depression for a minute. Depression is an ailment that has not only psychological problems, but it's a physiological problem. Depression involves chemicals in your brain that are not functioning right. And more studies are showing this, that just like someone with diabetes, their body is not processing sugar correctly. And so someone with depression, very likely, their body is not processing chemicals and hormones correctly. And that's why they don't feel normal as they normally would. Part of the challenge with this topic, with mental illness, is if you're like me and you don't have those struggles, you tend to evaluate someone who does based on you know, your own experience, and you analyze their situation based on your own. And so I might come, you know, with my family, I might come into the living room and Abby's there on the couch and she says she's bored and she's just kind of not feeling good. She's just not in a good mood and she doesn't really want to do anything. And I would evaluate that typically like me, and I'd say, well, all you're doing is laying around. Why don't you get up? Let's get up and do something. I mean, no wonder you don't feel good. You're just laying around. Come on, you'll feel better. Let's get up. And that would be appropriate. But when someone's battling depression, it's a different ballgame. It's entirely different. And if I come to Stephanie, who might be, my wife battles depression, anxiety, and ADD. And it's significant. It's a challenge. And if I come to her when she might be depressed and I say, you know, you need to quit laying around. You need to get up. Come on, you'll feel better. Let's go. It doesn't work. It's different. It's not that way. There will be have been times that her anxiety is overwhelming. And I'll use the phrase, she is freaking out. Okay? She is freaking out. And there have been many times in the past that I might come and I'm trying to help and I say, and I've done this. I've not done this in a while because I learned finally. But I would say, you need to calm down. You need to chill out. And would you believe that that didn't work? When someone is battling mental health struggles and, for example, anxiety, they already know they need to calm down. But they can't calm down. And I would say, it's okay. It's going to be okay. And she would say, no, it's not okay. And she's right. Actually, we're both right. Because what I'm talking about is the external circumstances that have us both kind of upset, but she's freaking out. And the external circumstances, they will be okay. We can do this and we can do that and everything will be okay. What she's talking about is inside. Inside, her body is freaking out. And it's not okay. And so to say, calm down, everything's going to be okay. The anxiety is driving the bus. And so with mental illness, I can't apply the rules that work in normal functioning to someone struggling with mental illness. It's two entirely different things. I'm going to share some quotes with you this morning. And I've had a number of you share with me part of your struggle and your journey and overcoming. And so I want to say up front, I appreciate those that have done that and shared with me so I can share with you. So I want to start and share something Marianne has given me. When she battled postpartum depression, she said the most difficult part of postpartum depression is people don't talk about it. People who have not experienced it don't really get it. You have a beautiful, new, healthy baby, so people assume that you should be able to snap out of the sadness. I've heard people say it's a choice to be happy. While I can somewhat agree with this statement, it is not at all true for a person experiencing depression. I wanted desperately to be happy. It's a great statement. It's very true. With mental illness battles, a person doesn't want to be freaking out with anxiety. They don't want to be depressed. They want to feel better. But their body is in control and it can be debilitating for good reason. Because things aren't, the mind and body are not functioning properly. About one in five struggle with mental illness. 18% of the population, could be higher than this. I know we have well over 200 here this morning. And so, well over 40 struggle with what we're talking about today. Galatians 6:2, this is what is what I'm really is on my mind and heart today. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so, if this doesn't apply to you today, and you may struggle to understand, it's taken me a journey to come to the understanding I have today, but there are others that you know that do battle this. And so if we can learn and understand more, we can bear with them better. And that's part of what I want to accomplish today. And then I want to speak to those that do battle mental illness and give us hope and give us ways that God wants to help us overcome. To those who don't struggle with mental illness, unless you have experienced it, you do not know. That's one thing I've learned. I can't talk to someone and tell them exactly how they feel, if they're battling these things. I don't know exactly. And so I'm very cautious when I give any advice. I've learned that. So if you've not dealt with this, be very careful giving advice. Let me give you an example. If you've ever played miniature golf, putt-putt, raise your hand. You ever played putt-putt? All right. Raise your hand one more time. Look around. We played a lot of putt-putt. All right, good job. If you've ever played a full round of golf, 18 holes on a golf course, swinging clubs, real golf, 18 holes, raise your hand. That's not near as many. If you've only played putt-putt and you think you can go play golf, you will find out it's an entirely different thing. Now, it's all golf, right? It's still golf. So I could say to someone, you know, I could say, I get down sometimes. I get the blues, you know. I'll tell you what I do. I just get up and get to doing something. I turn the TV on, watch a show I like. Why snap right out of it? You need to do that. I can't do that because I haven't been there. Okay. I want to share a couple more quotes in the on the topic of us trying to be understanding. We need to be understanding. Alicia Hamilton, who's dealt with bipolar and depression, she says, "There are days it literally takes every ounce within me to get up and make it another day. It's not something you can just snap out of. It's not something you can get over. It's with you as much as heart disease or cataracts." And then Marianne also said about postpartum depression, "When Easton was 5 weeks old, I woke up one morning and could not stop crying. I was completely disconnected from everyone, including Easton. I knew that I was blessed to have a healthy baby, loving husband, and supportive family and church family, but I couldn't overcome the deep depression I was facing. I felt like a completely different person. I was in the darkest, scariest, and loneliest place I had ever been." That's real golf. That's not putt-putt. It's a different thing entirely. With anxiety, something that may help you with anxiety. I've never found someone that's not afraid of something. Everyone's afraid of something, okay? And some people who have a pretty good tolerance for things in life and aren't afraid of many things, they may be afraid of something like public speaking. They may be afraid of dying, as most people are. But everyone I know is afraid of something. If you put a snake in front of me, I will freak out. On the inside and the outside. Okay? So you imagine the circumstance that gives you great anxiety. Ricasimi. Great anxiety and fear. Okay? Your body goes into fight or flight circumstances. Your body will do that automatically. If I see a snake, I will freak out, and I don't really notice the fact that my body has dumped adrenaline like crazy. My breathing increases. My heart rate goes up. I'm flushed. I start sweating. I've got energy. I'm hyper alert. Okay, on and on. There are other symptoms. Your body does that. God designed us. God is a great designer. When we need to fight or flee, we need all that. And if you're in a real circumstance where there's real danger, you don't really even so much notice all those things, but they do help you. If you're in a setting like right now, and your body dumps that on you and goes into fight or flight, that's a panic attack. And it feels horrible. I've never had one, but I can imagine it. I can imagine if I felt all of what I feel when I see a snake. At a time there's no snake, there's a problem. And someone could say, "It's okay." And I'd say, "No, it's not. No, it's not." Because inside, it's not okay. And that's what a person dealing with anxiety deals with. The body is malfunctioning. Amanda says, regarding anxiety attacks, "It was the most awful feeling I'd ever experienced. People who haven't been through it do not understand. You have no control. I thought I was going out of my mind. I would cry tucking the kids into bed, feeling like I was saying goodbye. I would cry during prayer because of the guilt. I knew my thoughts were irrational, but I could not stop them." Mom says, "Coping with anxiety is magnified in crowds, even to the point of feeling like the walls are closing in around me." So, again, this is not putt-putt. This is a whole different thing entirely. People who struggle with mental illness also typically struggle with guilt. They feel like, why can't I get control of this? If they don't understand it, on their journey to understanding what they're dealing with. Why can't I deal with this? Why don't I have more faith? If I had more faith, maybe this wouldn't be happening. And Janet shares, "You aren't a weak person who just can't get a grip. It's like your body is betraying you, and you can't control it. You're ashamed and feel like it's your fault. You cannot always tell by looking at or talking to someone if they are depressed or have anxiety." Those are important things. It's true, and it helps. So to read these things and hear from people who battle this, it helps me understand more. And it helps me. One big thing to remember in trying to be supportive and understanding is you don't always know just by looking at someone, because as you can imagine, if they don't feel right on the inside, what are you going to do? You're going to try to act like you're okay. And so it's not always easy to tell if somebody is really struggling. I want to tell you this, and I'm excited to tell you this. You don't know how much support you can be to someone. You really don't. But listen to this. Rebecca Foote is talking about Natasha Thompson, who's Jay and Cindy's daughter. Many of you know who Natasha is. And she says, I still remember to this day when Natasha Thompson came up to me and gave me a big hug to tell me everything is going to be okay. Just cry. And right then, my face just streamed with tears. I look back today and see how much this church family blessed us when we were going through that time, and how much God was by our side, even if I didn't see it at the time. I love that. I love the state. What a wise statement. And this would be during teenage years. What a wise statement. It's going to be okay. Just cry. That communicates two perfect things. One is hope. It's going to get better. But two is, I know it's really hard right now, and that's okay. And I'm here. Just cry. And so we can provide support for someone who is struggling. And that support is priceless. All right. To those who are struggling or do struggle, let's remember three things. First one, Jesus is our help. A great scripture I love is Psalm 34:17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. If you're struggling with what we're talking about today, you need to know God cares. God cares more than anyone cares. And if you wonder where he is, he's right there trying to help you. He may not take it away completely, but he wants to help you walk and survive and overcome and get to a place where things are better. And maybe not every day is better, but God's there to help us through the hard times. I love this verse. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. There have been five things I continually hear from people who struggle with these battles that they say help them. And the first two are prayer and scripture. Give all your worries to him because he cares about you. I like how the New Century reads. God cares about us. Scripture is very powerful and can be very powerful when we recite it, when we lean on it, when we focus on it. Prayer absolutely is powerful. And you need to know that God, Jesus helps us in numerous ways. And these are a couple ways that are obvious, maybe. But oftentimes, God helps us in ways that we might not think about. If someone is struggling with a physical health issue, back pain, let's say, and they go to doctor after doctor, and finally a doctor finds what the real problem is, and this medicine, maybe it's anti-inflammatory, of a certain type, and all of a sudden I'm better. I thank God for that. In other words, God uses medicine. Okay? Anytime we need it and take it and our body is better, we thank God for it. I thank God for antibiotics. You know how much trouble we would be in with the infections we get without antibiotics? And so medicine is a great help, and we praise God for it. And for the right medicine, it's important. A good Christian counselor is something I continue to hear from people. How much that helped them, finding a good Christian counselor. I've referred many, many people to Cornerstone Christian Counseling in Tulsa. I know there are other great places and counselors, but those people who work in those professions and help people are a godsend, and it's a blessing from God. And then friends and family are a great help and a great blessing. I want to share a thought from Alicia, who says, I wholeheartedly believe God sent my grandparents and my mom to rescue the last time I was pregnant and had to stop my medication temporarily. Something maybe you, if you're like me, you hadn't thought of. Someone who's battling mental health struggles and they're on medication during pregnancy, they may have to stop that. You think that's not a trial. Secondly, Jesus is our happiness. And this may seem like an odd thing to say about, you know, struggling in mental health. But Jesus is our happiness. In other words, Jesus wants to provide us still moments and days of joy. Scripture tells us to rejoice, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And this passage is in the context, look at verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. Look at verse 7, the peace of God. This is what we want. If you're battling mental illness, you want peace. Give me peace. Help me not to be anxious. And in this context of this topic, Scripture says rejoice. Now, how can you rejoice in that? And the answer is there's days and there's moments when you still live. Jesus came that we may have life. And there are still days and moments and times we live. We may feel like I lost the battle yesterday, but I can win today. And God will help me. There are times of service. All these topics on overcoming. Remember talking about illness and Carol and talked about still serving God. With grief and highlighting Norma, still serving God in the church. There's joy in service, even though I'm struggling mentally. And I brag on my wife about teaching class, and she really doesn't. I tell her, I think I'm pretty good explaining things, but she still doesn't get it. It's so natural for her to teach young children. But it is amazing what she does. God has gifted her. And in those times when you're serving God, even though you're battling your mind and your body, but you're still serving God, there's joy in that. And there's happiness in that. And those times and moments and days are gifts from God. And finally, the worst thing, I think it's the worst, is if a person arrives at a place where they feel there is no hope. It is the key indicator when people attempt to take their own life. It is the key indicator of a person, the likelihood that they may do that is, have they arrived at a place of hopelessness? Will this ever get better? And I love our scripture we've used each week. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. God wants us to overcome. I have four brief quotes, and these are from people who are overcoming. And I hope they give you hope if you're struggling with this. First and foremost, lean on family and stay in church. You will have far more peace than doing it alone. God taught me what the peace that transcends understanding was. God taught me the difference in saying I'm giving it to Him and actually doing it. Three things were very helpful for me: supportive family, getting counseling, and medication. I could never have made it through the worst years of depression without God. I remember spending countless hours in prayer. The closeness to God got me through. That's overcoming. And so you need to know that there is hope. God will help you. There are people who understand. And I want to close with a video about Kristen Tucker and a time when she battled mental health struggles. And if you haven't figured it out by now, you may need a tissue. I mean, this is the third week and the third video, so just be forewarned. But I think you'll be able to appreciate this.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. See, 'twas great. saved a wretch like me.
I'm so thankful that our God is a God of overcoming. That's what He's about. He told us that life would have trials, but He's overcome the world.
That's right.
And so we're going to close with a song about victory, victory in Jesus. And you may be here this morning and have something that is heavy on your heart. It may be pertaining to the lesson. It may be something different. But we have a God who's waiting on us to come to His throne and put our cares in front of Him. And we'll do that with you this morning if there's something you have, or if there's someone who would like to start their life with Christ and put Him on in baptism. We'd love to help you with that as well. If there's something we can help you with, please come while we stand and sing.
I've heard an old story, how sin came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary. Wretch like me, I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and see about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all love is to Him. He enlarged me.